if you need a PhD to understand a business plan, that's going to be too complicated for any investor, any potential customer, any stakeholder looking to come into your business. So I think the number one tip I have is keep it simple.
Hello, I'm Vivian Kay, and I'm super excited to welcome you to Business Class, Build It Braver, a podcast powered by American Express. In every episode, we bring to you a different small business owner, someone who's trying to do it all. Then we tap into the experiences of notable Canadian entrepreneurs, people who have built and grown successful businesses. That means we can offer firsthand insight into things like managing your cash flow, telling your brand story, sourcing capital, and of course, growing your business. In this episode, we're picking up on a challenge many of us business owners have lived and could use some real guidance on. It's the kind of challenge that underpins all the other challenges. That's right, I'm talking about money. How do you find the funds to grow your business to the next stage? Does this sound familiar? You've got your business up and running. You've made a bit of a name for yourself. But then, like many entrepreneurs, you are planning for that next level. Where do you go from here? How do you get the dollars to expand? Access to financial support is critical for any business to succeed. I mean, it's the difference between a business that reaches its goals and one that struggles. We all know that no matter how good the product or service is, without money, it's slow going. So, how do you source funding in order to breathe life into your business? That's what we're going to talk about today. First, we're going to meet a Canadian entrepreneur who packages delicious soups and stews. You know, the kinds that come in pouches. They're quick, healthy meals that come in very handy on those nights where you're working late. Her soups are great, but this small business owner is currently wrestling with a problem of how to get financial support to take her business to the next level. Luckily, help has arrived in the form of Kayla Isabel. She's the CEO of Startup Canada, an organization dedicated to connecting Canada's entrepreneurs with tools for growth. Kayla has helped many people actualize their dream of finding capital in order to grow. And she has a wealth of ideas to share. I can't wait to hear what both of these incredible entrepreneurs have to say. So let's get down to business. Meet small business owner Lola Adeyemi. She is the CEO and chef at It's Super, a line of prepackaged Afrofusion gourmet soups. They're seriously good too. Lola started the company because she felt there was a void in the retail space for such products. So Lola left her thriving career in IT to pursue her passion for cooking. Her chickpea stews and roasted carrot soups are to die for. They're very tasty, and you can find them in big grocery stores across the country. But there's one thing this entrepreneur hopes for more than anything else: an easier path for entrepreneurs like herself to find support to take her business to the next level. Lola admits that the path at this point has been filled with highs and lows of finding money to actualize the dream. She does see a world of possibility, but it's limited by the available resources. Lola Adeyemi, welcome to Build It Braver.
Thank you so much, Vivian. It's amazing to be here. And that was an amazing intro.
So, Lola, I can relate to how challenging it can be when you're trying to get business financing. There are different ways to go about it, for sure. That we all know. But tell me about your experience. I mean, what did you have to do to get that initial cash to start It's Super?
What I did was self-finance. Prior to starting It's Super, I was working two jobs because I wanted the opportunity to be able to have funds to save for a business idea I had. So the business idea was growing and it was blooming, and I knew I wanted to do something, but I didn't have the exact idea. But I knew that number one was I needed money, no matter what it was that I wanted to do. I was working in IT, but also consulting extra on the side so that I could save that money for a rainy day. And so that's what I did for the first few months of starting and creating my website and all those things that required me to actually launch the business. Even to get an accountant to open the business for me required funding.
Okay, so did you have to use any personal assets, like to secure business loans or anything like that, like your car or your home?
I had lines of credit I could lean on. I did have to get loans, but I didn't have to apply at the time when I started. The initial funding was all self-funded, personal lines of credit, as well personal investments.
So besides borrowing from family, I know that it can be hard for business owners to know where the best place to turn to. So they do things like bank loans and grants and angel investors. It's really a complicated journey to go through. How well have you been able to navigate through this journey, would you say?
The food industry doesn't get much funding unless maybe there's a tech component to your food or you're creating something techie. So most of the funding goes to agri-tech or science or IT technology software. So when I initially started and I was searching for people to fund my concept or my idea, it was hard. When you go to banks, they see it as high risk. So they don't see it as something that they really want to invest in. And so that can limit your options when you're talking about outside funding. What I did was there was a lot of focus on supporting BIPOC Black owned businesses and also the government and created the CERB, which helped me get funding at the time I was going to scale. And I needed funding to be able to do that scaling. Last year, there was a lot of focus on BIPOC and Black. So that was what I leveraged to apply for the grants. So far, I've gotten two grants, one by Amex to Ryerson DMZ. That was a 10K grant this year, which is really fantastic. And there was one last year by a private law firm focused on BIPOC businesses. And that was like a 70K grant. And that was like life-changing for my business. That was also kind of confirmation because when you get some of these fundings and these grants, it validates your idea because other people see it as something worth investing in.
Right. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So let's get back to present.
Yes.
And let's talk about it super. Tell me, girl, how is business going?
Business is going fantastic for a food brand that basically launched officially during the pandemic. And so I can't do food demos. You know how you go to grocery stores and you get a taste? That's how you get to know about a product and meet your customers. We can't do that anymore. So for a new brand competing with other big brands on the shelf, I've been really blessed. It's a great product. And so even in the summer, we were still making good sales. I think launching during this difficult time and surviving is a great test of how great a brand it is.
Okay, Lola, let's stick a pin in this. We're going to get into it much more, but first I want to bring Kayla Isabel in here. You see, Kayla is in the business of nurturing small businesses. She is the award-winning CEO of Startup Canada, an organization that connects Canada's entrepreneurs with tools, community, and support to start and grow their businesses. She helps to make it easier for small business owners like Lola to find resources. Cool job, right? Kayla Isabel, welcome to Build It Braver.
Thank you so much, Vivian. I'm so excited to be here.
So, Kayla, a lot of people start a business with just a single idea, and it's usually born out of something that they're interested in or that's something that they need. I know you meet tons of business owners as the CEO of Startup Canada. What do you think are some of the critical early next steps that people need to take when they're starting or growing a business?
During the pandemic, we've seen so many new businesses start. So this is a very timely question to be tackling here. The entrepreneurs that we see at Startup Canada are often in that ideation stage. They are thinking about a business idea. They've identified a problem that they're either experiencing in their own life or that they're seeing in the market, and they see an opportunity to solve it. Already, that is very entrepreneurial to be identifying that potential moment to really seize. The next step is really validating that idea. And what we see within the startup community is sometimes entrepreneurs don't invest as much time as they should in that early stage vetting across that target market. Is this business actually needed? Is it a challenge that you might be experiencing and you're the only person out there experiencing? Or have you actually validated this across the community? So while there are so many different business ideas popping up, I really encourage entrepreneurs to spend that extra time at the beginning of that business build to really make sure, is there a big enough need for this business? Is it scalable? Scaling means different things to different people, but make sure that there's actually a space for you to grow into so that your investment of time, money, energy is really making the biggest bang for its buck at those early stages.
Well said. I 100% agree. So I think there's one thing that every business owner could use help with, and that's finding capital. I don't know any business owner that doesn't have that problem. What are some of the available resources out there for small and medium-sized business owners?
This is a great question, and I get asked it on the daily.
It is
the number one challenge that every single year entrepreneurs come to Startup Canada with. How do I find funding? And this answer is complicated because it really depends on industry, on where you're coming from across Canada. Are you looking to scale nationally or internationally? Because there are so many different funding pots to access depending on multiple parts of your business and your intentions. Startup Canada has a number of partnerships with organizations that essentially comb through all of the various funds that are available. So think private sector, think government, think accelerators, incubators, pitch competitions. And there are a number of different platforms that actually comb through all of those funding opportunities and list them based on the criteria of your business. So if you are a women-led business, if you are from Atlantic Canada and you're in a food and beverage-based business, let's use Lola's business as an example, there are going to be funding allocations specifically for you. I really encourage entrepreneurs listening to seek out some of those resources. So use some of these tools that are often free to help you find that process, and then you can spend more time on actually completing those applications.
So what are some of the challenges that you hear from entrepreneurs on accessing these types of resources?
They take a long time, is often the biggest criticism we hear, particularly for government support. When we look at larger grants, larger contributions that could be supporting your business, sometimes those calls can be months and months long. The application process itself takes months. Then you may never hear back on what the outcome of that project is, or you get rejected and you don't know why. So this process is very frustrating for entrepreneurs because you feel you've put so much time, so much energy. So step one, simplifying all of these funding options. We've seen a lot of innovation in that space from different organizations. But two, we are advocating on behalf of entrepreneurs to government, to various private sector institutions, to other support organizations to try to speed up that process and change the criteria as well. Because often the criteria that entrepreneurs are adjudicated on is not the value proposition that each business brings. Sometimes that gets missed in the narrative and the story of the entrepreneur.
So what are your suggestions to navigate through these barriers? So let's just say, can I pitch my idea better? Like, what can I do? What can entrepreneurs do to navigate these sorts of barriers besides having the institutions have better, you know, ways of doing this?
I think often we feel our ideas are the best possible business idea. And sometimes we don't take feedback where feedback is potentially needed. And while I think we need to champion what we think is right in our business, sometimes we have to temper that just practically when we're going through funding conversations. So getting crystal clear in super simple terms, what is your business? What are you actually trying to do? And I say that very explicitly because sometimes entrepreneurs can get very wrapped up in the complexity of their business and can't distill it into a very simple sort of what their clear value proposition is. So get very clear on your business model. How are you actually going to bring in revenue? Because any investor is going to be vetting the investment potential of your business through that lens. So having a crystal clear business structure that you can convey in simple terms and having realistic aspirations for the business, I think as well. We can have really bold ideas, but we need to be practical. And that lands better. I think also utilizing mentors, advisors, community. This is huge for entrepreneurs, specifically in different industries. How can you learn from the lessons of other entrepreneurs who have been where you are right now so that you can accelerate that process and kind of work out some of those kinks? And how do you iterate and get supported by these different communities and different mentors in a way that makes you more confident in your business?
Listening to Lola share her experience about her challenges in finding money to grow her business, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Lola is right on the money, literally, in navigating some of these challenges. And to Lola, you know, you are not alone in this process. And entrepreneurs are struggling specifically in food as well. It is a very challenging market, which is interesting because it is so saturated as well. There are so many food and beverage-based businesses in Canada covering such a wide variety. Like,
and everybody needs to eat.
And everybody needs to eat.
Funding food.
Exactly. Everybody needs to eat. Exactly. And like, I'm salivating just thinking about the soup, Lola. You know, from an investment perspective, if the margins aren't large enough, looking at exporting food and beverage-based businesses, that can be challenging sometimes, that all of those different parts are hurdles in some ways, but there are so many resources to help you navigate through that. We have Export Development Canada and the Trade Commissioner Service and these other entities that both provide funding and that advisory support to help you navigate that scale, particularly in a U.S. market that has such a big opportunity specifically for food. So it sounds very similar to a lot of the suggestions that we hear, Lola, and the frustrations that we hear from entrepreneurs. Not that that makes it any easier.
Lola, would you say that your business is at the scale-up point? Like, are you scaling or would you still consider yourself a startup?
I would still consider myself a startup because just as Kayla said, you want to put yourself in a position where you're actually ready to scale and you want to crawl. I say I crawl before I even walk and before I run. I could be in a position where I could pitch to bigger grocery chains. And people ask me, when are you going to go into the big international chains? I say, I want to own my local area. I want to own like the local grocers and the stores around me before I go national or international. So I really want to confirm that my business model is valid and validate that and get the data so that I can know how to even scale.
And I think that's so smart that foundation piece can often be missed. And we really saw that during the pandemic, that many businesses tried to scale so quickly. To your point, Lola, about being self-funded, we see many entrepreneurs doing that early in their businesses. What we saw, though, during the pandemic was many weren't incorporated or didn't have these foundational elements of their business that then took away opportunities like CERB or like the government supports that were intended to help entrepreneurs just like them. So that foundational element, while it's not as sexy as some of the other marketing and communications and all this other great stuff, is really important so that you're getting that right. You have that secret sauce, literally, and you can then scale on that solid base.
Okay, so Lola, you mentioned that you consider yourself a startup and that's the stage that you're at. So now you're looking to scale up. What are your biggest pain points right now?
A biggest pain point for scaling and expansion of my business is getting funding and financing, because to scale a food business, the startup costs are very high. To scale and become a national or international brand, I need to acquire the funding to be able to do that. You're competing with big brands, even on social media. You're fighting for space on the web to be able to get like the SEO and get all that stuff. Like your digital marketing, you need to invest in that. Your social media, invest in that. There's so many things now that you're actually battling for that one customer. It's more expensive now to get a first-time customer. And so I'm not only having to invest in a product, but I'm also having to invest more in having presence online and in the store. And so it's very vital to be able to have funding to run the business. And one of the things that makes the food industry even in more need for investment is because the cost of goods to even launch one product, I have to have invested in the design, the packaging, the product, and then have it available for sale. I have to have sent it free to the stores before they pay me back in net 40 or 30 days. So I have to have that money first to even sell one pack.
So with Lola's comment, number one within our community, the biggest challenge we find is finding funding. And finding funding, not funding in terms of total funding pools available. We know the funding is out there. It is accessing it efficiently. The second biggest challenge we see is mentorship, finding advisors. And then our third is marketing and sales.
You're listening to Business Class, Build It Braver, and I'm Vivian Kay. I'm speaking with Kayla Isabel, the award-winning CEO of Startup Canada, and Lola Adeyemi, the small business owner who wants to be a food giant with her unique prepackaged Afrofusion soups. I can't wait to hear what Kayla has to say about some of the available resources for small business owners seeking financing. That's still coming up. But first, here's a quick tip. If you're a small business owner When this episode is over, go and check out American Express Business Class. This is a fantastic online resource that provides modern education through compelling stories, timely tips, and inspiring insights from business experts, industry leaders, and savvy entrepreneurs. It's basically a whole world of great ideas for today's business leaders. You can learn more at mx.ca/business class.
Imagine you're on the road for a business trip. Now imagine you're on that trip, but this time you've earned 2 times the points on your hotel and car rental. 'Cause I'm free, baby, I'm free, baby, I'm free, baby. Now that's a happy place. Introducing the American Express Aeroplan Business Reserve Card, the card that can help make your happy places even happier. Apply today at amex.ca/aeroplan. On eligible purchases, conditions apply.
I don't know about you, but I have more questions for Lola Adeyemi of It's Super and Kayla Isabel, the CEO of Startup Canada. Kayla, getting money to fund your business is a layered process, but it's widely known that having a great, solid business plan is critical. So in your experience, what are some key components to a great business plan?
With a business plan, I think clarity of direction, that if your business plan is too complicated, it is too complicated. You should be able to distill it in really simple terms. And this can be very complicated when you're looking at SaaS or you're looking at very complex business structures that have a lot of different elements in spaces that are very niche. If you need a PhD to understand a business plan, that's going to be too complicated for any investor, any potential customer, any stakeholder looking to come into your business. So I think the number one tip I have is really explaining it in clear terms in a way that, you know, someone in elementary school or your grandma, often you hear, could your grandma understand what your business is? You know, what's really that 30-second elevator pitch, if you will, of your business? Have the longer version as well for those that want that depth. But the biggest challenge, I think, with the business plan is trying to include every possible thing under the sun in the business plan. Keep it simple.
So, Kayla, there's also this perception that funding comes with a lot of strings, like investors breathing down your neck and wanting your firstborn. But it's intimidating for business owners to reach for. What do you think about this?
I think that perception is valid. I would say I would even feel that myself, particularly with government funding. There are a lot of appropriate measures taken to make sure that the impact you are trying to make with that funding is actually happening. It's taxpayer dollars. I appreciate that as a citizen. But we are seeing a lot of new funding organizations and entities that are disrupting this expectation and the perception issues and the actual reality that sometimes there are a lot of strings. So we see new funding partners and organizations that are asking different types of questions around impact, that are allocating funds to whatever you would like in your life. So as a woman entrepreneur, I might need money for childcare or supporting my business from a completely different lens, not just capital for the marketing communications plan. So that I think is really interesting that we've seen an evolution in the types of funding organizations that are popping up, often run by women, often run by marginalized communities. And that is really fantastic. That disruption is showing great results already. And I'm really excited about seeing that grow even more because we need to be measuring success with different metrics. Like it needs to look different than it has before because of all the inequalities we've seen in entrepreneurship and beyond.
There's something that I mentioned a few times that the reason why you are a disadvantage when you start a business are the reasons why people want to help you. Being a woman-owned, being Black or BIPOC-owned business is a lot of times seen as a disadvantage. And it is the reality of things because we're a minority. But there are organizations that have been set up as well to support that. And just like Kayla said, there are women-led organizations, private organizations as well, that are also changing how even these grant applications work.
Okay, so Lola, we both know being an entrepreneur is rewarding, but sometimes we end up learning things the hard way. What are some hard lessons that you are learning right now?
I would say that the hardest lesson I have learned is that I should compete on quality and overpriced. When I started, I went into the grocery stores to see what my competitors were priced at, and I thought, well, I don't want to go over that price because these are big, well-known brands. And here I am, this immigrant, Black woman-owned African soup brand. Why would I want to price myself and not be competitive? I thought the reasons why I was unique and the reasons why I was exotic and my brand was exotic was the reason why I should be priced lower. And sometimes I think I limited myself and didn't give myself enough buffer of margin to be prepared for some of the unknowns that came with COVID, for example, where the price of everything has gone up.
Kayla, do Mola's challenges echo what you hear a lot in your line of work?
Absolutely. And I think one component of Lola's answer around doing a competitive analysis that can be skipped for entrepreneurs when you're trying to get into the market. And often if you miss that thorough review of what is already out there, you are going to learn that lesson the hard way when your competitor is potentially too similar or if you really don't have a clear value proposition that is unique to your business. And when asked by a potential investor, who is your competition within the space? Nobody has no competitor. I find that such a red flag when I hear that from those answers. But you need to be aware of what the full field that you are playing with is and be able to speak to that competitively.
Do you have any suggestions for women-led businesses specifically for finding funding?
I love this question because if you look at the statistics, women are more likely to be successful in receiving funding when they apply, but they are less likely to apply for funding. So we need to be at that table. We need to put ourselves in those situations confidently because we know we're going to be successful. So to women entrepreneurs, be thorough. Keep that thoroughness in your business planning and in setting up your finances, but be bolder in putting yourself out there. There are also so many support organizations and communities for women entrepreneurs. And so go to those networking events, go to various online spaces where you can be candid about the challenges that you're going through and find the community that's right for you. You could be looking at industry verticals. You could be looking at regions. You could be looking at communities specifically for BIPOC women, for Indigenous women.
Lola, do Kayla's comments resonate with you? What nuggets will you take with you?
Yes, it resonates with me. One specific thing that you mentioned about putting yourself out there, I think that's very vital, especially for women-owned businesses. When I first started in industry, especially not knowing much about food and beverage, I realized that there are a lot of people that want to help, but they're not going to find you. You have to look out and seek for them. And sometimes that just starts with putting yourself out there and being a little more vulnerable and showing that you need help and you need support. There's something I always say about if you're not noticed, you're not recognized. And if you're not recognized, you're not promoted. For women to be promoted, we need to raise our hands. We need to speak out. We need to advocate for ourselves and advocate for each other. And there are a lot of agencies, like Kayla said, that are springing up, really advocating for women so that we can get recognized, we can get noticed, and we can get the promotion, the funding, the support that we need. So I totally agree with what Kayla said.
It's been amazing to be part of this conversation. To hear all about Kayla Isabel's passion for being that strong support system for small business owners through that critical stage of finding money to turn their ideas into reality. And Lola Adeyemi for sharing her story on starting her business and some of the hoops she's been jumping through to take her amazing soups to the next level. Lola Adeyemi, thanks for coming on Build It Braver and sharing your business story. I am so excited for what the future holds for It's Super, and I look forward to finding it on more shelves across the country.
Thank you so much. This was amazing, and I enjoyed the conversation with Kayla. Thank you so much, Kayla, for all the valuable lessons that you shared today.
Kayla Isabel, it's been incredibly valuable to have your insight. I'm glad you joined us, and I definitely have many takeaways from this episode. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on some of the ways business owners can access resources.
Thank you so much, Vivian. It has been so much fun being on today's episode. Congratulations, Lola, on everything you've accomplished so far. And listeners, remember, the power is yours. Support business owners like Lola with your purchasing power.
And thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, I hope you'll subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And don't forget to tell your friends about us. We business owners need to stick together. Don't forget to go to American Express Business Class online to find all kinds of valuable resources and suggestions. And on the podcast, we've got more incredible business mentors coming your way. So keep checking out the show. I'm Vivian Kay. Thanks again for listening to Business Class, Build It Braver, and may you continue to prosper.